Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with 6 race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. The 8-track tape was a revolutionary technology. You could play your favorite songs in your car. It was also a short-lived technology, but one community radio host is bringing it back. I will talk with Bob Anders, host of Bob's 8-track Garage Sale on KHOI Radio in Ames. That's coming up in about 40 minutes. But first, there are a lot of people out there who would never dream of setting foot in a yoga class. A lot of people who could really benefit from practicing yoga. This hour, we're going to talk about trauma-informed yoga, yoga specifically designed for trauma survivors. But we're going to start with people who encounter a very specific type of trauma, first responders. It's estimated that 25 to 30% of police officers have stress-based physical health problems, and 40% suffer from sleep disorders. Numbers are rising for post-traumatic stress disorder among all emergency personnel, and it's that reality that led Olivia Mead to found Yoga for First Responders, a nationwide nonprofit. She's now based in Colorado, but lived and worked in Iowa for 5 years and is with me on the line. Hello, Olivia.
Hi, Charity. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm enjoying the opportunity to talk with you.
So give me an idea of where this idea first started for you. Yoga practice was an important part of your life, but how did you connect the dots and think this is something I need to bring to first responders?
Yeah, you know, I've been teaching yoga for 16 years, and it's been part of my life since I was a little girl. And westernized yoga is typically, you know, it has a certain culture about it. It's in yoga studios, there's incense, there's trendy outfits, you know, and that was all fine and good. But I knew deep down from my studies of yoga that there's so much more to it than that. There's a healing capability in it. And when I started, you know, I wanted to support military and veterans initially. And I started working with veterans and military. I got, I studied trauma-sensitive yoga to bring to veterans who struggle with post-traumatic stress. But then as I kind of studied and looked into the statistics more, first responders have a 30-year career of going and seeing more trauma, loss, death, and destruction in one shift, and then they have to go home to their families and completely switch gears. And the statistics that you read before, they're not going down. They're getting higher and higher. And from what I knew and studied about yoga, that could be a healing tool and answer that was missing in first responder training. So I Googled yoga for first responders to see if I could, you know, if there's a program out there that I could get trained in to bring yoga to the first responder population, because there was a lot of programs for military and veterans already. But when I Googled it, nothing came up. So I kind of was like, okay, welcome to the rest of your life, right? Because now I knew I had to be the one to bridge these two separate cultures together. And actually, Charity, in the West, they're separate cultures. But in the East, where yoga initiated from, yoga is meant to train warriors and to train the mind to do incredible feats. So connecting the dots really isn't that hard if you know the true intention of yoga.
Well, and you mentioned westernized yoga does have these stereotypes. And although there are many male yogis in the United States, it does tend to be a more female culture in the United States, a more privileged culture in the United States. But your dad did yoga when you were growing up. He was a professional golfer. Did his use of yoga help you see it in a little bit different way?
Well, I didn't realize he was doing yoga when he was doing it, because what we all think of yoga. So the number one thing that I hear when I ask people about yoga is, oh, I'm not flexible enough, or I can't touch my toes. It's all about flexibility or the physical body. But when I was younger, it wasn't until later I realized my dad was doing yoga but he was doing it for the mental side of it. Because if anyone plays golf, they know that golf is a mental game. So he was doing breath work techniques. He was doing a lot of reading and studying. And that's a branch of yoga that people don't even know exists because we're so wrapped up in the physical part of it. And it's branded that way. I mean, that's what's really going to make money in the West if you tell women, you know, let's be honest, that they're going to be skinnier, that they're going to have a cute butt, they're going to look really good in these yoga pants, right? That's what's going to sell tickets to the yoga studios. So it wasn't until later that I started studying yoga more, you know, in depth that I realized my dad was studying a true practice of yoga. And the physical is just one element of that.
So you mentioned teaching your first class of first responders, deciding that that was going to be your niche. How did you get your foot in the door? Was that a hard sell?
Yeah, I make this joke when I do my lectures and my presentations that I knocked on the door of Los Angeles Fire Department and they just let me right in. And that's a joke because that's not how that happened. When I got the idea, and to be honest, I was sitting in my car when I lived in LA before Iowa, and I was already teaching veterans, and I was talking to my mom on the phone, and I had to tell her to wait because sirens of a fire truck went by, you know, and that's when she kind of brought to my attention first responders. And I think the next day after I sort of had this revelation and tried to Google it and nothing came up, I just looked up a contact at Los Angeles Fire Department. And I got a contact, their head psychologist at their behavioral health department. And he's a great guy. I'm still in touch with him. He gave me the opportunity. But he knew the benefits of yoga. He and his wife practiced yoga, and he was sold on the yoga element. But he was afraid of buy-in from the firefighters, you know? And I had to go in and kind of give them a whole song and dance to him, to the firefighters, the deputy chiefs. It was kind of, I was thrown in the deep end because I'm this yoga teacher brought in front of uniformed, you know, commanders of the Los Angeles Fire Department and giving them a whole song and dance about why their members should come on a yoga mat. And I think that first experience really taught me how to conduct myself with the first responder and public safety culture. How we teach yoga to them is a little bit different than what you're going to find in a yoga studio. We're matching the energy of their culture.
So I think, yeah, give me some of your secrets on that. I mean, how do you change your language? How do you change your approach to appeal to this group?
Yeah, and there's several, you know, we have trained the trainers where we train people in our methodology, and there's several ground rules we have in this area. But a couple that I can give you is languaging. Languaging and energy is a big thing. I'm not going to come in and tell a first responder, okay, open up your chest and make it shine like the sun. Oh, that's just beautiful. Now, you might hear that in a Western yoga studio, right?
Uh-huh.
That's going to elicit a huge eye roll for them. So instead, I'll say, stand up strong, lift your chest up. You know, I'll speak to them a little bit more directly, almost like a commander. And I'll tell them exactly what to do without adding sort of that flowery language around it of adjectives of beautiful and things like that. Because typically, you don't need that language anyway when you teach yoga. I kind of always taught yoga this way. And so I think I found where I'm best suited as a teacher as well. But it also really translates to them the true benefits of yoga instead of sort of this feel-good fluff, if that makes sense.
You had, I'm sure you've reached so many first responders over the years that you've seen a lot of breakthroughs, but you had one firefighter in particular in Carlisle, Iowa, who really, really didn't want to go to this training. Tell me about him.
Yeah. So what's really cool is, you know, this isn't just for big departments. I started at Los Angeles Fire Department, but when I moved to Iowa, you know, I taught at the big departments too, but the rural departments also picked it up because the needs of a firefighter in Carlisle are the same as Los Angeles Fire Department, if not more, because in small towns, when you're running a call on a car accident, it very well could be someone you know,
yeah.
You know, so it might even be tougher in a small town. So I was doing their monthly drill night, and he's a bigger guy, you know, kind of a dad bod sort of dude. and didn't want to go, was really resistant to coming to my presentation. And after I did the presentation where I really break down, hey, this is why we're doing it, right? It's not for fluff. It's not for no reason. It's not to stretch, but it's to make you better at being a firefighter. He came, started to come to my weekly classes that I was offering Carlisle Fire Department. He came every single time. And since then, he has told me that he is off his medication for sleep disorders, night sweats, and depression, and I think heart meds too.
Wow.
And I'm not going to claim that's what we can do, right? I'm not going to guarantee that. That's just his story. But it really showed that a commitment to something that is out of the box for these men and women can actually have true physical benefits that are beyond just flexibility, right? True health benefits, benefits for the mind, benefits for the nervous system. And so that's just one story out of many people who came in with a misconception about what yoga was about. And we re-educated them, and then it changed their life.
Give me an idea of what you tell these first responders when they do come to that first class. What do you tell them they will get out of this practice?
Yeah, so the original intention of yoga is, you know, we address the common misconceptions, which is I'm here to relax or chill out, or I'm here to stretch. We address those directly and why those aren't really necessarily true or accurate. The original intention of yoga is to have mastery over your mind and optimal functioning of your entire psychophysiological system. And I really hone in on that, and then I make it very job specific. So, you know, they're in public safety because they want to be. You know, they're more often than not, this has been a childhood dream for them. And I'm showing them directly linking to their job of how these practices are going to contribute to long-term survivability, as well as short-term decision-making. You know, yoga affects the brain, and the part of the brain that makes decisions under pressure, verbal communication under pressure. And there's research to back all of this up. So when I show that to them, and this is what we're really going to do when we're training, as well as the physical part. So the physical part, we're optimizing mobility, which is going to help them, as well as strengthening small stabilizing muscles around joints, which are going to help you be stronger and help prevent injury. So I really am focusing on the why behind what we're doing. And I think this population is why-driven people. You can't just say, hey, get to a yoga mat, we're going to do this, it's good for you. You really have to break down exactly why and how that's going to apply to their daily lives and their job.
We're going to have to take
you with me.
Right, I'm sure. We're going to have to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking to Olivia Mead. She is the founder and CEO of Yoga for First Responders. We'll also talk about the Exhale Project in just a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk about 8-track tapes. You probably remember 8-track tapes. It's a technology that wasn't around for very long, but there's a community radio host in Ames who is bringing it back. I'll talk to Bob Anders, host of Bob's 8-track Garage Sale on KHOI Radio in Ames. Right now, we're talking about trauma-informed yoga and yoga for first responders. With me is Olivia Mead, the founder and CEO of Yoga for First Responders. It's a nationwide nonprofit, and she's based in Colorado now, but lived and worked in Iowa for 5 years. And I also want to bring Julie Jack into the conversation. She is the founder and director of the Exhale Project, providing low-cost, trauma-informed yoga. The project is now in its third year. The Exhale Project serves 6 counties in East Central Iowa. Welcome, Julie.
Hi, Charity. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. And we've talked a lot so far about working with first responders. And of course, Olivia got her start working with veterans who had experienced traumatic situations. Can you help me define a little bit about what trauma-informed yoga means?
So I think that trauma-informed yoga is yoga. People think that it's quite different, but it's using the principles and practices of yoga for a therapeutic healing reason. I think in a class, we really take into account people's past experiences. We really try to meet people where they are as they're coming into class. And we do everything possible within a class to mitigate things that could be triggering to them.
All right. So triggering, like if anybody's ever been in a yoga class, some yoga instructors are pretty touchy-feely. They may come up behind you and help correct a form. I mean, so maybe making sure that touch is never unexpected is one thing you might do. What are some of the other things that you would do to make the environment more welcoming and safe for people who may have experienced trauma?
So really just thinking about like the setup of the room, for example, and make sure that the mats are facing the door so people can see their exit if they feel they want to exit. Invitational language is an important piece of it. So when trauma happens, there's this lack of power, no lack of choice over what's happening. So giving them the opportunity to choose for themselves and for their own body about what feels right. Thinking about the music that's played, if music is played at all. But I could play my favorite song and it could be really great for me, but for someone else, it might not be. So thinking about that. Let me see.
We were talking earlier about sort of the stereotypes of westernized yoga. You know, we think primarily about privileged white women in yoga spaces. And Olivia, of course, has to combat that stereotype in getting first responders of all backgrounds to come and participate in her yoga workshops. But I can imagine in looking at trauma-informed yoga, you're fighting a lot of those stereotypes too. How do you make the yoga studio a welcoming environment to people from all socioeconomic levels, from all different backgrounds, all different body types?
So with the Excel Project, one of the things we do is we don't generally offer classes in yoga studios, which can be something that, you know, there is a lot of stereotypes around it. And maybe people don't feel welcome there for many number of reasons. So we offer classes in spaces that are donated. That could be a yoga studio, but for the most part, we use church basements or libraries or places like that that are just a little more welcoming and open to the general population. We also offer the classes for free through the Excel Project. So we're really trying to break down the obstacle of cost, which yoga can be very expensive.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. How do people get involved in the Exhale Project? Where do you find your students?
So I work a lot in the mental health field, actually. I actually feel like I'm much more involved with mental health than, but I work closely with the program actually really focuses on survivors of sexual assault, domestic violence, and human trafficking. So I work closely with agencies that work with this population. And for referrals, that they have this option of referring their client to this type of healing work if they're interested. Also work with lots of therapists and counselors. And then just word spreads, about this offering of yoga that's just a little bit different and with a little bit different intention, not necessarily just to stretch and exercise, but to come to heal and really work with the nervous system, as Olivia talked about.
What brought you into this kind of yoga practice?
So from the minute I stepped on the mat almost 20 years ago, I knew that there was something more to yoga. I came to it, like most people, for exercise. But I felt this, like, peace in my body and mind like I'd never felt before. And so I just continued on my journey and I was just throughout the training confirmed my idea that there was much more to it. And so about 5 years ago when I moved to Iowa, I decided to really focus on trying to give this work to people and help people in this way. And so I was teaching just in a general yoga studio. I started that way. And the director of the Rape Victim Advocacy Program at the University of Iowa came to one of the classes and approached me afterwards and asked if I would be interested in working with survivors of sexual assault and doing this kind of work. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes, exactly what I want to do. So through that, they actually trained me in my first training in trauma-informed yoga. I've done many more since then. And I got involved that way. And then through that, I found out about a grant that, you know, could support this work and really bring it to survivors regardless of their ability to pay. And so I wrote the grant and the Exhale Project was born. So
we're talking this hour about trauma-informed yoga. If yoga is a part of your life and maybe it's helped you in this way, helped you through something really difficult in your life, we would love to hear your story if you're willing to share. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Julie, for people who think that yoga is just about building flexibility and strength, help me understand a little bit deeper the mental benefits that you feel that you get out of yoga and that others can also tap into.
So one of the things I think yoga does is bring awareness, right? We, through poses and through breath work, we're brought to this moment. And with awareness of what's happening in your body, that's where we can change from, right? You can't change what you don't know. So bringing awareness to this sense of what's happening in the nervous system. If you're feeling, I suffer from depression, and so that yoga has really helped me to realize when I'm kind of spiraling down into, you know, a darker, more isolated place, heavy place. And I have these tools of yoga to bring me back to just simply because I'm aware that it's happening. I also think it builds strength.
Emotional strength as well as physical strength?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they really go together.
thinking about those times when life is very hard, that spiral that you were talking about, in so many ways, it sounds like you're saying you need yoga most when you might feel like doing it the least.
Absolutely.
Is that a struggle to understand what your body needs at that moment, even though maybe you don't feel like getting out of bed?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the awareness piece, too. Like, now I'm very much aware that it will feel better after I did it, whereas before maybe I would let myself stay in bed, right?
I know that many of the people that you're working with have survived very difficult things. Is there a story that you can share about someone who has come to you and really benefited from this kind of yoga? I don't want to break anybody's anonymity or privacy, but can you tell us about?
Yeah, actually, I spoke with someone last night and she gave me permission to tell her story. This person was molested as a child. She has an assault as a young adult. She lost her sister at a young age, and she is also a 10-year survivor of a suicide attempt. And she came to one of my first yoga classes, and I would say was quiet. She attended sporadically. It was an 8-week session. Wasn't really interacting as much with the group. But I wouldn't say it didn't feel like it was benefiting her. And so she signed up for another session, subsequent session, and we changed the location of the class. And she had to plug the meter. It was at night. And she arrived at class in tears, completely in panic, very triggered by the idea of getting to class. And so through yoga, she's been able to kind of work with those anxious feelings and resolve them. I asked her last night, you know, how yoga has helped you. And she said something I thought was really neat and profound. She said, I feel like yoga has built a foundation, a stronger foundation to hold all the stuff that's going on inside of me. Which I really think speaks to this fact that when we feel like a little bit stronger, that we feel like we can deal and move through things and even go to those dark places to work with them because we know that we're not going to break.
I want to get to the phones, 866-780-9100. With me this hour, Julie Jack, the founder and director of the Exhale Project, and Olivia Mead, the founder and CEO of Yoga for First Responders. Hobby is on the line in Dixon. Hello, Hobby.
Hi, Charity.
Hi, what would you like to talk about?
So I actually moved to Dixon, Iowa to be with my partner, but it's a small town and it was pretty also isolated. But I was really thankful that there was a yoga studio called Backwards Yoga, and now I go to another one in the town of Eldridge. But I have severe anxiety and depression, and sometimes I couldn't really afford therapy, especially with the struggle with transparency with insurance and things like that. And so yoga was turned into kind of my therapy. And it was so crazy for me to be in a small town and isolated. And that was kind of where I built my community and got to meet people that really understood me from my background. And so I'm so thankful. And now I'm getting, I'm starting my master's program, in social work to be able to do therapy with people. And so I really think yoga is what got me to this point.
Oh, wow. So. Well, that's great. Hobby, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
No problem. I really love your show, so thank you.
Thank you. And Olivia, I know the trauma-informed yoga is a big part of what you do as well. We were focusing on dealing, you know, helping first responders become stronger and better at their jobs, which is also a big part of what you do. Is there anything that you want to add to what Julie was saying or even what Hobby was just sharing about how this can help people become more resilient?
Yeah, so what Julie was saying is spot on about trauma-sensitive yoga, and we take principles from trauma-sensitive yoga. Same thing, no music, no incense, because music and smells can be triggering, facing the door, all those same things, and we just make it culturally informed to first responders. And to what Hobby was saying, too, we, and like Julie said, we bring the yoga to them in their department instead of a yoga studio. And that builds this sense of community, right? There's already a brother and sisterhood in public safety, and we make it stronger with them all practicing yoga together. So just like Hobby said, if you're in a small town and you kind of, you're new there, you don't know where to turn, it gives you a community that's yours that you can return to every week. And even if it's just you and the yoga mat, when I see my yoga mat, that's my community. That's my partner. I know I can go there, be myself, become aware, like Julie said, which was spot on, is what's going on within me and on the exterior, and you can get back in control of your own life.
And I think it's important to point out because, you know, listening to Hobby's story and listening to the two of you, this is incredibly powerful stuff, and it can be very powerful for something, for someone. It's not magical. It's not necessarily a replacement for therapy. I mean, if somebody is working through something really difficult, this is, right, can be a really powerful tool for a lot of people. But Julie, it also takes a while to see results sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, I always say yoga's a practice. No, we actually say that, like, practice yoga. And it's not to say that there's not a benefit of a one-off yoga class, but the fruits of it really come by practicing something, the ritual of it. And I think that really becomes kind of a rock for you in a world that it can be chaotic, and things do happen. We can count on and rely on that inner strength that we build through a yoga practice.
Well, and Olivia, in thinking about your first responders, there are also small practices within the practice of yoga that I can imagine your first responders are able to put in their toolbox and take with them, even breathing practice, right?
Absolutely. So it's a tool. It's a complement to talk therapy and to other therapies as well. It's not a replacement. Absolutely. And to promote consistent practicing, we don't always have 60 minutes a day to roll out a yoga mat. And if we ask people to do that, we're setting them up for failure. So you can see the benefits in the brain and nervous system from yoga in just 3 minutes. And they've proven this with biofeedback machines. So what we're teaching first responders is short practices, even as short as 3 minutes, that they can do on the job, on the fire ground, in action to calm and control their nervous system. So then if they're practicing, you know, sometimes I only get 10 minutes of breath work a day. But if I'm practicing it consistently, then you're going to see the benefit. If you roll out a yoga mat once to twice a month for 60 minutes, it might temporarily feel good, but it's not going to have these profound biological effects unless you have this consistent practice. So exactly, we're offering small little nuggets that first responders can do whenever they need them, including while they're at work.
Do you feel like the yoga culture is changing and becoming more welcoming in our country? And we only have about a minute left, but Olivia, I'll let you answer that first.
I do, but I think that we have to keep moving in that direction because, again, it's a moneymaker. Yoga is a $1 billion industry, and we're fighting against that. So it's definitely more opportunities for more people, but it's not quite changed quite yet.
Olivia Mead, founder and CEO of Yoga for First Responders, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And Julie, with just 30 seconds left, do you feel the culture of yoga is broadening?
Yes and no. I really agree with what Olivia said, that we're moving in that direction, but there is still a lot of work to be done.
Well, Julie Jack, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Julie Jack is the founder and director of the Exhale Project, providing low-cost, trauma-informed yoga. The Exhale Project is based in 6 counties in East Central Iowa. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.